Welcome to the Entrepreneurial Leap Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Dubay. For context, this podcast is inspired by the book Entrepreneurial Leap by Gino Wickman. Gino is the founder of EOS Worldwide and an author with over 2 million copies of his books sold worldwide. Now, in his next phase, he is taking his passion for helping entrepreneurs by partnering with five equally passionate, successful entrepreneurs, myself included, who have created the eLeap Academy, where we teach the content from the book in a one-year program guaranteed to increase the success of early-stage businesses. Now, a quick note about me. I've been an entrepreneur since the age of 14 when I started my first business selling blow pop lollipops out of my locker with my best friend. I ran a company that I sold to a public company and later bought back. I'm an author, speaker, host of an annual leadership retreat, and I'm partners in several other businesses. I'll be your host for the Entrepreneurial Leap Podcast, where every other week, you will be hearing life stories from successful entrepreneurs who took the leap into entrepreneurship. You will learn from their mistakes and successes and be inspired as you move forward on your journey. Now, before I introduce my guest, I'm going to share with you a bit about eLeap Academy. The Entrepreneurial Leap Academy provides an immersive 9-month experience for new entrepreneurs with a focus on the three C's: clarity, confidence, and community. Let's start with the first C, clarity. You will learn to be clear about who you are, what you want from your business, and how to get it. The next C, confidence. You will learn to be confident you're on the right path, equipped with powerful mindset tools. The last C, connected. You will become connected to a community of entrepreneurs just like you. Now, all participants receive 4 full-day in-person classes led by experienced entrepreneurs to equip you with the tools and strategies necessary to build a successful business. The Academy's dynamic community connects participants with a tribe of like-minded individuals for support and networking opportunities during and between classes. Students also receive a seasoned mentor offering personalized guidance and expertise to help you navigate the challenges of entrepreneurship. To start building the business of your dreams, visit our website at e-leap.com. Again, that's e-leap.com. There you can learn more about and sign up for the next Entrepreneurial Leap Academy. Today's guest is Lisa Brooking, CEO of Health Code Medical. Lisa is a dynamic and engaging healthcare leader with a proven track record in both the private and public sector, spanning across tertiary, acute, primary, and specialty care. She holds a deep understanding of the healthcare sector rooted in a progressive career, starting as a critical care nurse, and is passionate about the provision of high-quality, person-centered care and keeping Health Code Medical's promise to its patients. Through stakeholder engagement and tactical negotiation, Lisa crosses finish lines. An independent thinker and transformational leader, she leans into complex problems, offering innovative solutions while staying attuned to the ROI and potential risks. She is a recipient of the Young Woman of the Year Award by the Business Women's Association, is an accomplished athlete and public speaker, and enjoys opportunities to inspire and engage an audience of healthcare professionals, students, and athletes of all ages. Now, I wanted to add some notable recent athletic highlights from Lisa. She won the Miami Half Marathon in 2022 and finished second at the Vancouver Half Marathon in 2023 with a time of 1 hour and 16 minutes. She ran the 10K for Team Canada and competed in the World Championships in 2018, as well as the Pan American in 2016, 2017, and 2018. She's also been featured on the cover of Canadian Running Magazine. Now, some professional accolades. She was recognized as the Young Woman of the Year in 2015 from the Orillia Business Women's Association. And in 2016, the organization graciously renamed the award to the Lisa Brooking Young Woman of the Year Award, which is presented annually. You are going to hear lots of nuggets of wisdom during my chat with Lisa, so please enjoy. Lisa, thank you for joining me today. I am so excited to see you, and I believe you're in Canada, Vancouver, maybe?
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks, Rob, for having me on your show.
Oh, it's such a pleasure.
It's a privilege to be here. Yes, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, on the West Coast.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you for taking time because I know how busy you are. You're a CEO of a company, and there's when you're the CEO of a company like yours, there's always something going on. It's always busy. So I'm just really grateful to you to come on and share some wisdom with these amazing listeners that we have. And I thought I'd start with a quote, and I'd love to hear your take on what I'm about to share with you. So this is the quote. It says, "Movement is medicine. It gives you those wonderful endorphins. It just breathes so much life into our bodies and excretes all those toxins out of our pores." So I'm wondering, are you familiar with that quote at all? And if you're not, that's okay. And what comes to mind when you hear it?
Absolutely. Well, as there was a podcast I was listening to that called it the poor man's NAD. And so NAD is an infusion that helps to excrete, those toxins. But for those who just want to release your toxins on a daily basis, exercise does that. And so what better way than a natural form of getting rid of the toxins in your body than through movement? And absolutely, movement is medicine. It's who I am. I role model it daily. And it's an important piece of what we do here at Health Code Medical.
So, you know, when did this start for you, this realization, you know, in your life that this movement was important? And I'll ask you a little bit more in a few moments about how this plays in at your company. But when did you notice this was an important part of your life?
I would say it clicked not that long ago, really. I didn't grow up in an athletic family, wasn't really exposed to sport. But certainly a hardworking family. So we were always doing something, whether on the house or outside. And so, you know, movement was a part of my day to day, just didn't see it as medicine at that stage. And then, having a nursing background and seeing care through different vantage points in critical care and cardiac, certainly saw the importance of movement post-surgery, movement. Like the second that patient's awake, you're getting out of bed. And you're getting moving and it's hard, but you're supporting them and you're encouraging them. And so again, it wasn't clicking, but I knew it was so important. And it was definitely a foundational principle of working in those types of settings in critical care. Okay, you're over the hump. You're not fully recovered, but you got to move. And oftentimes patients and families would say, oh, well, shouldn't you wait a couple more days for them to be rested? No. Movement is medicine. Movement prevents blood clots. It promotes, healing. And so it wasn't really until I stepped into more of the preventative-based space and really saw the intersection of my personal life through professional life through my career and then my athletic life through running, where I saw this intersection where the light came on. Movement is medicine. There's no downside to movement and only upside. How wonderful is that? If it could be in a pill, I'm sure it would make a lot of money. But unfortunately, there's no one hit wonder. It just requires moving your body. And if you move your body, you have balanced hormones, you're in better spirits, keeps the weight down, keeps the sugar levels in line, and it yields so many positive things I don't think a lot of people know about. So certainly on a mission to help spread that.
And I love it. And as you had this epiphany that you wanted to start a company, in this world? Because prior to this, you hadn't started any other companies, correct? Did you have any sort of entrepreneurial aspirations at some point in your life, maybe young or before you went into nursing?
Certainly had the entrepreneurial spirit. Again, subconsciously, unconsciously, you know, always looking like, how can we improve this? Why aren't we doing things this way? Has anyone thought to revisit this? And certainly in the quality insurance, like the quality assurance space, the patient flow optimization operating in more of the hospital setting. So I had the extraordinary opportunity to meet an individual that had a health challenge and he couldn't find help. And so he went across Canada and the US looking for help. He was 6'2", 330 pounds. You know, that weight came on quite quickly, diabetes, heart disease, high cholesterol. And so he was building his wealth, but not taking care of his health. And he thought, oh, no big deal, no big deal. And then, you know, he was at a crossroads. And so this gentleman was able to find functional medicine and actually totally transform his life. And so he's kept off 110 pounds for the last 20 years. And he's the fountain of youth. He's almost 70. And so he was the person that had this idea to say, I want to create this. So it came out of a need for his, for him. And then we just totally aligned with my skill set and passion. So he is our founder, and I'm just so privileged to be a part of the company and a partner in the company to really advance it forward and create a positive, sustaining impact.
Amazing. Okay. So for the listener, how long have you been running this? And did you get involved from the beginning?
Well, we all, you know, COVID felt like it lasted a decade, but it was around 2 years.
Yeah.
So I've been with the company 2.5 years. And then I came in as the COO and then soon after stepped into the CEO role. But as you know, any CEO in a small business that's growing rapidly, and especially with my clinical background, I'm constantly boots on the ground and I'll never change. So I'm connecting with our clients. I'm looking at workflows. You know, do we need to answer a phone? What's happening with the internet today? So our care model, so a big part of the work that I did when joining was to really create structure so that we can have deliverables. We can give promises to patients so that we actually have a structure in place and a proven way to track that. And so it was the structure and such I built, those foundational pieces, and then to be able to bootstrap on other great service offerings.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been with the company 2.5 years, and it's been, it was up and going 8 months prior.
But
it was more so for, you know, himself and friends. It didn't quite have the structure that would be able to do scalability. And he knew that. So meeting was really just this moment where this dream could come alive for this to be, reach more people.
And so for the listener, explain exactly what the business model is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes. So we are an annual membership, and we have we kickstart that each year with a 2-day medical. And what makes our medical different than other offerings on both sides of the border is we have a standardization, but then we overlay personalization. So a woman going through menopause, you know, a man that's just like, you know, does he need hip surgery? Does he not? He wants to get back on the football field, hockey rink, but he has all this weight. Like, what actually is causing these issues? Somebody who's maybe experiencing cognitive decline. Gosh, is it Alzheimer's? My dad had Alzheimer's. And so it's that overlaying, that personalization piece, long COVID. And so I think each year we could all appreciate that not only do we have health goals, but we also want to, you know, have an area of focus. And so that's what we marry the two together. So we have the standardization piece, which is seen at other offerings. Ours is advanced in the sense that we are doing, you know, the full body MRI. We're detecting 9 out of the 10 top cancers. We're very big in the cancer screening, Alzheimer's screening, and that's another piece in terms of the neurocognitive. So our brain health assessment is unmatched in any other offering, and that's embedded in the standardized piece. So we have a reference point and saying, oh, Rob, you know, this year from last year, your processing speed, your memory, is this a little off? And you could say, well, I think, I don't know, I'm just getting older. Well, we don't believe that that's the reason. Like, let's figure it out. And what measures can we enact now to get you back on track? Mm-hmm. So in order to turn the clock back, people want to turn the clock back. You really need to have a comprehensive approach. You need to make sure nothing's brewing. And then we can really bring back that great vitality and energy. Mm-hmm. So 2-day medical, we uncover to make sure nothing's brewing. We also assess your area of focus. And then throughout the year, you have a medical team, a longevity coach, health coach, nutritionist. We're giving you, maybe it's an Oura Ring or a continuous glucose monitor. And we're tracking those trends before you're seeing them on the outside. And we're able to do this in a way that we can support our clients virtually. More than 70% of our clients come from the U.S. And I think that maybe speaks volumes to people thinking, well, I want something different. I'm going to the same place each year, and each year it's the same 10 stations, and it's not personalized for me. And so now we are offering a personalization, and we're also a platform. And what's great about that is I'm not signing strategic partnerships with this cancer testing, because maybe next year there will be a better one. And so we bring everybody in-house, those that are common household names, but new age ones, circulating cancer cells out of Germany. We carry the Alzheimer's gene. So new and emerging tests, you can count on Health Code Medical to have it. And if we don't have it, we're going to get it, because we bring in global testing. We see it as a global market. And we want to be alongside progress, not trailing behind.
Mm. So since 70% of your business is in the U.S., the work that you do with your clients, is it virtual, or do they come in to see you live on some regular basis?
Great question. Yes. So these are entrepreneurs and people who have very busy schedules, but they're committing 2 days. It's really a day and a half every year to come to beautiful Vancouver. So come skiing in Whistler, come in the summer and see our spring cherry blossom.
It is beautiful there.
It is. And with our exchange rate, look at the savings. So you're coming annually here because it's a destination, and we're able to not bring in those assessment pieces, but also like what has new and emerged. And so we're constantly changing and updating to ensure that we are best in class and we remain best in class, because our individuals are coming from the East. They're coming from New York. They're coming from Texas in the South, and quite a few from California. They're making the effort. We want to make sure that we remain best in class. So there is testing and imaging available in lots of different operations. But what we're doing different is we're continuing to just enhance it. So this year looks a little different than next year. We are still monitoring those trends. That's so important. But we're just in making sure that we're being progressive and as innovative as possible.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take a step back for a moment, because one of the things that we teach about in the Academy, or talk about in the Academy, and it's also in the book, Entrepreneurial Leap, is for a young entrepreneur, whether or not they should go to college. And, there's all sorts of thoughts around this, and everybody has good ones. And so I always like to ask the guest, what's your feeling on somebody who has an entrepreneurial gene? They're excited to get going and do their own thing. Should they experience college or university, or should they jump right in and go into business?
Mm, that's a great question. I would say it depends on the type of learner. You know, for me, having that foundational knowledge in nursing, seeing care at the bedside, you witness a lot of care when you're working 12 and 16 hour shifts, and you see a lot of the pinch points in care or where it falls through the gaps. And so having that progressive experience, to me, I wouldn't have had that, because you can't enter healthcare without a degree. Going back and getting my master's degree, it opened up doors to understand how policy comes to fruition and how it ultimately disseminates down to those provinces, or in your case, those states. So for me, I appreciated the formal learnings as well as those exposures that I otherwise wouldn't have had. But that's the type of learner I am, is those lived experiences. When I'm thinking about how can we build this care, this healthcare, not sick care, this healthcare model better and better here to serve these patients, I'm constantly reflecting on my practice at the bedside, knowing what that's like when they come in with a heart attack.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying, for me, it's tools in my toolbox. I'm always looking for further education. I listen to a lot of podcasts such as yours. Another podcast is Podcast Outside of My Lane. I listen to healthcare podcasts, but then I also listen to a podcast that talks about education and, you know, how AI can be so important in education to not replace teachers, but work alongside them and really, you know, enhance those curriculums from being stale to robust. Mm-hmm. And when you think about education, that's very similar to healthcare. We're educating patients for them to make those lifestyle modifications to adhere to protocols. So I appreciate learning from different sectors. I acquire that through podcasts and reading books. So it just depends on, and then of course, you know, growing that network. So it just depends on the type of person they are. I would say if you are somebody who's, you know, not as out there and as social, maybe a formal education would make sense because it would push you into those settings.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. As you now you've been doing this a couple of years and, you know, you had the nursing background and of course you're an elite athlete. As you look at this business now, and maybe you haven't reflected on this and maybe you have, I don't know, but when you do, is this the ideal business for you? I mean, do you look at this and just say like, what am I, how did I get into this perfect business for me?
I am living the dream.
That's so cool.
I am. And so yes, a progressive career from nursing and, you know, overseeing a cancer hospital and having these incredible opportunities and not really sure why I didn't plan out my career. Why did it take me from critical care to cancer care to primary care? But each opportunity, I leaned into it and thought, wow, okay, why is somebody tapping me on the shoulder for this position? What can I learn from it? How can I, you know, continue to grow my perspective and knowledge? And then to meet our ultimate founder here and align on our values, our philosophy of health, and, you know, get this up and running with a strong foundation. It's such a, it gives me goosebumps. I wake up every day with purpose. And how can we make this affordable for all? And
yeah.
So we are a bit at the top of the pyramid right now, as most startups are. And then, you know, how can we create a mid-level program and then a program that maybe is subsidized through the government or insurance once we have more data to really prove that this type of program works?
Yeah.
And so I'm living my best life.
I love it. I can feel the energy from you and see it in your face. It's amazing. So, you know, in the book and again, in the Academy, we talk about the 8 critical mistakes. I'm going to read them to you just so you know. No vision, wrong people, not spending enough time with people, not knowing who your customer is, not charging enough, and not staying true to your core. Now, I know I read those kind of quickly, but does any one of those stick out for you? As we like to say, share your story of the nightmare, the boy, we hired the wrong person for that. And it, you know, set us back a few months or something like that. Does anything come to mind for you?
Oh, absolutely. It all comes down to the people, right? And it's the people, it's the culture, you know, it's ensuring that we're all in sync. And in order to bring the vision to life, you need an incredible team that really believes in the mission. We've all made mistakes where somebody has recommended somebody to hire and, or you're looking more at the resume and not the person and taking the time to really dig down to what really motivates them and to ensure their values align. And so, you know, certainly have made some mistakes along the way, not saying those individuals aren't great employees or could be real an asset somewhere else. It's just for what we do, it's not quite the right fit.
Right.
So, you know, there's uncompromising values and I'm not going to waver from delivering on our client promise and delivering excellence. And if we aren't delivering on our client promise, I'd like to know why and where can we put those support systems in place? The team is a family. And when I say family, I mean, yeah, like we all hold ourselves to accountability, but there's no hierarchy and we all do our best. There's a road for succession if people want to progress in their career and just creating that place to actually get to know each other as a team culture. Whether you run a large organization or not, having run a large organization, you enact change and you're so excited to deliver that change, but nobody else is excited about it. And you're dealing with unionized employees. You have to figure out how to motivate them, how to meet them where they're at. I've had those experiences. Feel, you know, I feel like I got a stronger backbone now.
That's so good.
Yeah, it's a learning, and it comes down to just people and caring for the people. So all the principles that you highlighted is absolutely true. And when you talk about the cost, so you're absolutely right. You know, the price is like, oh, why you price it at this? Well, I feel I can stand behind our price. I can justify it. And there's value for money. If we were a franchise and in every center, you know, like these Starbucks and a lot of different things, then there's more, you can bring the price down and there's more margins and more flexibility. But as you know, with startups, you have hard costs and you want a good workforce that's top talented, that goes beyond their role, you know, that costs money. But you're understanding there's a return on investment because now they're so woven into the fabric of the company that they're going to have that loyalty and that commitment. And then on the vendor side, hopefully as we have scalability, then I can negotiate, you know, some better pricing to then have some more margins. But we price fairly. And but yeah, you have to set the bar high. And that's because we deliver high standards.
Quality standard. Yeah. Now, have you had a mentor? And if so, can you talk a little bit about how that's been for you?
Mm-hmm. I haven't had one specific mentor, but I could say that each experience I've had somebody in that wheelhouse that's been able to provide me such knowledge. I really draw on individuals that have a lot more experience than I do. And so right now there's a lady that works for me one day a week and she has 35 years experience. I call her my general counsel because she really does, you know, she has that historical piece. She has, you know, what has happened here and there. And so I very much surround myself by people that know more than I do when it comes to, you know, strong finances or, you know, navigating different things. I don't pretend to be, I'm a jack of all trades. I certainly have an expertise in healthcare and delivering care and ensuring we're achieving those accreditations. But there are other aspects that I'm not as strong in. So I very much lean on individuals to ensure that we are hitting that top tier, and I'm learning. So I have mentors with more of a finance background, with more of a healthcare, somebody that's very high level in government, people both sides of the border, people in the innovative space.
Yeah.
So I've been so grateful. Our clients have opened opportunities up for me to attend different events that's given me those enriching experiences and networks.
Yeah. So it's like you have a wisdom council or something of all these different people. You can kind of pick their brains versus a one-on-one, you know, which to me, all those people, as you're describing it, and I hope the listener picks up on that, those are mentors without question, maybe a different kind of relationship. But, you know, Lisa's listening to the wisdom of all these people that in areas, especially where I think you feel like you need to learn a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it can come in a formal and informal way.
Right.
You can have that person that you can, you know, vent to and they can help you see beyond the challenge. And then there's the person that's going to push you forward or think differently. So you could be at a dinner party and you're just listening to just interesting thoughts around, you know, whatever the topic of choice is. And again, you're learning and being mentored without even knowing it. You could be talking about, you know, something in politics or something in here. What happens if we do this? And just thinking broadly. And it's amazing what takeaways are if you're fully engaged. My biggest learning is if you're willing to be vulnerable and ask for help, and then in return, fully, like not only accept the help, but be fully engaged. You're not on your phone. You're not, oh, I'm only available on these days. If somebody's willing to help me, I will meet them anywhere and on their terms. And if we're walking, we're walking. And if I'm able to ask a question, one or two, that's great. But I'm always saying yes. And that I don't want to ever change in that
regard. Love it. I love it. Let's talk a little bit about vision. I mean, is that something that you all have worked on at the organization? And can you talk a little bit about the process? And is it, how far out do you see? Do you go out 10 years when you think about vision? Just curious about your philosophy with Health Code.
Mm-hmm. Well, as an entrepreneur, you think, oh, must be easy. You come up with a vision, you've written it down, you know, you can basically, you know, as old school way of saying it, laminate it, you know, it's not changing, right? But it does change over time. So unlike being a part of, you know, a hospital system where that vision was created well before you arrived and you just follow it, the strategic priorities change and adjust, but ultimately that vision and mission is not changing. Here, we didn't have that. And so it was a collaborative process. Why are we here? Why did we have this handful of clients sign up right away? And then they're telling their friends. Our marketing is just through word of mouth. Health is very personal. They're telling their friends. And so fine-tuning our mission for me has been just a wonderful experience and a journey. It's not like, check, I've made my mission. It took me 10 minutes, next. For me, I want to ensure, like, why I have an idea of why we're here. Why are our staff here? Why are these clients here? And some of them are, you know, have created extraordinary companies. And so they've experienced a lot in their own business. So what is it that they see here that they're counting on? They're seeing a level of comfort. And we take the noise out of healthcare and really provide you targeted solutions. And is that why they're coming? So it's interesting to see that dynamic. And then that further then synthesizes what our mission. We have a broad mission to democratize functional medicine, but what is the mission of Health Code Medical? And so it's, I just encourage your viewers, unfortunately, it's not just a task tick box. It's something you're constantly revisiting as you meet somebody younger, somebody older, somebody from different countries. So it's constantly changing based on their perception of what they expect.
You know, I want to go back to something you were talking about earlier with the challenge that was presented before I think this was even a company. And one of the must-dos that we teach is that the bigger the problem you solve in the world, the more successful you'll be. And there's a sense I'm getting, but please, I'd like you to expand on it, that this is a big problem and you're working on solving it for the world. Can you expand on that a little bit? Is it accurate? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I'm so grateful that you brought that up. So, you know, is it possible this little Canadian company can even have an impact in our own country, let alone another country? Well, I say yes, because every other industry has been disrupted and healthcare is primed for it. Sick care is primed. So the system that exists right now on both sides of the border does work well. You come in, you get a surgery, you leave. Like that priest works great. But now we need something before, which is early detection of cancers, you know, stage one, stage two, when it's minimally invasive. We need to say, you have type 2 diabetes. Did you know that, you know, you don't need to be on insulin? You could actually reverse it. And so where can we enact like a whole new industry of tagging in these wearables and all the blood testing and then really providing context? Because we have all this noise in the system. Everyone's all censored up and all these, you know, genetic profiles, and we do a ton of testing here. You can get all this testing on your own, but who's going to put it into context?
Right.
And so that's really what we're trying to do, is put into context so that you stay healthy. Ultimately, health is, you know, is your greatest asset. We want you to have agency over your health, which means freedom. You can have all the financial wealth, but if you don't have health on your side, your box of where you'll go in a day really narrows. So you could have the freedom and the right to do what you want. But if your health isn't on your side, you're likely not going to go heli skiing or somewhere where you need a satellite phone on your big fancy yacht. So when we dream of, you know, if somebody's dreaming of being that entrepreneur, they also have to remember and be successful that, you know, you want all these, if somebody that's motivated by things, if you want to get into that little Porsche, you need to not be 400 pounds. And so it's also like the image of, and then also with your health on your side, you're able to make great decisions. You're not irritable. You're not making irrational decisions. So health just has like a full return on investment because you are role modeling the way forward. You're able to say yes to taking on those board seats or going to that gala. Like you are just saying yes to community engagement. And then you're somebody that people want to rally behind. And so for me, it's just being able to role model the way forward and then just be able to just keep for individuals to realize you want health. Mm-hmm. So we will have a paradigm shift to say, wait, We have sick care. It works well. There's a fee structure in play. But there's actually something called healthcare that's a whole industry before you actually need to walk through the doors of sick care. Some will, because some people do need pacemakers and heart transplants through the, genetic issues. But majority of the load off the system, it's just like a mismatch. I've given this example a few times is, individuals come in, they have heart disease, they're on all these pills. The pills don't cure the disease, they just manage it. So then you need, you come in, heart attack, you need stents. Again, stents is just a fencing, it's opening up the blockage. You still have the heart disease, then you come in for triple bypass. And you're kind of seeing these patients as a revolving door. And so did anyone ever tell them, not just tell them, but put a system in place that supports them? And so that's where I think the only way our systems are sustainable, our health systems around the world, is very much enacting that. People want to change. They just don't know which path to take. And there's so much noise in the space. If I may, I could provide an example from Africa.
Yeah.
I had the great privilege of running for the national team. So Team Canada World Championships was in Kampala, Uganda. And so that's the breeding ground of running. It's so intimidating being there. But Athletics Canada, after much effort, agreed to let me visit the Hospital and Aid Society. I very much wanted a window into their healthcare without having any prejudgments. And, a country that's undergone a lot of pandemics and adversity, they still thrive as a society. And so what are they doing? Because we live in the land of wealth, and yet we still can't figure it out. And so for them, the hospital drastically decreased their post-operative infections by doing three things. Number one, they put a door between outside and inside, so there was no wind blowing the sand in. Number two, the surgeon and the surgical team washed their hands. And number three, they cleaned the skin beforehand. So I read this research article and beforehand to celebrate with them. And then they had said yes, and this was a grassroots program. And now other hospitals, neighboring hospitals, are doing that because they're seeing success. So then other hospitals are wanting to uptake that. So versus somebody coming in top down, North America says you need to do this, and it may have sustainability and uptake or may not. But when it comes from grassroots, and you see that excitement that that these loved ones and family members in the community survive the surgery, because they don't have a lot of antibiotics to give around to have a post-op infection, so they're super motivated. And so for me, it was so extraordinary to share in that joy and that conversation with them through a translator. But I could say, anything's possible.
Yeah.
And so I don't believe in there's no way out. If something like Africa can figure out post-operative infections with the basic principles of hand washing, we can figure it out too.
Yeah, that's a great example. As you're growing the business and you start to have a client base, one of the things that we teach is to make sure to get feedback from customers and clients early and often. And I'm curious how that shows up for you.
Mm-hmm. We all know businesses that send out surveys, and it's non-personal, and it needs to happen because the business is so large. So I would encourage your viewers, especially when you're starting small, is I make sure, I give them their space while they're in the clinic. I say, hello, do you have any feedback? We've added new members to the team. And, just having those personal connections with them. As I mentioned, health is personal. So when you ask somebody, we're appreciative that you come. Do you have a wife and kids? We'd love to support families. And if we can keep the whole family unit healthy, just imagine what is possible. And they may say, I'm not bringing my wife in because, she's going through menopause and we actually help women with that. Or, so it's really having that conversation and then seeing how we can help. We are here to help. And if we can't do something here in-house, what can we do? Yeah. So it's very much, it's more informal, but having that pulse on the client. Especially our folks that are making the effort to come from far distances, they're flying in, time is precious, they want to see value for money. And so if something's changed in their life, what is it? We are under an expansion plan to have outposts and more locations to offer some of these treatments throughout the year and adjunct therapies. But ultimately, this will be our destination for that annual medical. But we can offer, IV clinics and red light therapy and different types of ways of healing. So we blend Eastern and Western medicine together in a very science-based backing. And so you have that foundational piece. And then we understand people are on pharmaceuticals. We're trying to get them off the pharmaceuticals. You weren't on antidepressant last year. Why are you on it this year? So let's figure this out. And we're super motivated and hope you are too. All those meds have side effects. And if you paint the picture of what somebody's health will look like in 10 years because of those bucket of pills, I think that's the thing. We're trying to create awareness. And then with that, I had no idea.
I'm curious, given your background as an elite athlete, do you, as we like to say it, see it every night? So it's kind of like where you imagine what's going to happen in the future and you kind of can see it. And you know, I wondered if you kind of do that with your running when you win these great events that you've participated in. And does that show up for you in business at all?
Visualization. You know, maybe it's visualizing winning that race. And so to win the Miami Half Marathon in 2022, you know, huge international presence, did not expect that. But I towed that line, the gun went off, and I just gave it my all. And so sometimes good things happen when we least expect it. But ultimately, it's also believing in myself. I'm not a full-time athlete, but I know I put in the work. And these compound daily commitments compound over time. And so while I can't commit 3 hours a day to training, I do commit an hour and then a weekend, a bit more time. But I know that daily commitment, at least that's what I told myself, and research also shows if it does. And a lot of these things is mental. So if you believe in yourself, you can race above your threshold. So I believe we can do such great things and have a positive impact and serve the world in a positive way and say, you know what? I want families and communities. I come from a very small town to think, I don't want my child being on all these medications. Why? If it is ADHD, if they are fussy with what they're eating, what is really causing this? What testing can we do to just see if there is an allergy? Like a lot of times it's like low hanging fruit, but it's having a clinical team with an open mind to say, is it environmental factors, you know, toxins? Is it like what else is going on? So we take a holistic approach and a comprehensive approach to our testing to then be able to provide insights into your health, which makes you unique. So it's not one size fits all for everybody.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things we talk about and teach are these stages of business. And you get to a point where, you know, there's a few people and then there's a few more, and then the communication becomes very important. And I'm curious on your thoughts around communicating frequently with your employees. How does that work at Health Code?
Mm-hmm. We have many modes of communicating. And this is a learning process that I had to learn. But one thing about, and I'm sorry to keep going back to the bedside, but there's so many foundational pieces where it's a team-based sport. So yes, I'm the nurse, but I'm the eyes and the ears. So if I need a respiratory therapist, or I think this patient is actually having another brain bleed because I'm assessing and monitoring them so closely, it's a team sport. And so every aspect of care is a team, even though people often think it's just the doctor and the nurse. It's a huge, extraordinary team. If housekeeping doesn't clean the room, that infection could be there for the next person coming in. And so it's all about communication in healthcare. And then being in this space as an entrepreneur, it's easy to think like, oh, these people aren't coming in with urgent or emergent issues, so I can lower, you know, it's not as important. Communication is so important, whether you're running a tech company or we're in the like early detection, health optimization space. It's all about communication. So we have like a WhatsApp. So we have like a social chat where people are putting, you know, with their dogs and things on the weekend. So we have that chat. We have weekly staff meetings, and the staff meetings are broken up into chunks. So we're talking about clients coming in. What do we need to prepare for them? They're coming from other state. We know the weather is bad. You know, there's a lot of coordination goes into that. And then also communicating on the care team throughout the year. So like this individual's goal was to do this. We're not achieving the desired result. Maybe another team member has a better connection with them. And so, and then of course your annual we have annual reviews with the staff, but also just checking with them regularly. How are you doing? Are you happy in this role? And someone may say, I'm a front desk person, but I actually really want to be in management or accounting. Well, how can we support that as a small business? Maybe it's just a portion of the tuition, but I certainly want to make sure I'm supporting the staff for the succession plan. So informal and formal ways of communicating and allowing people the opportunity to communicate versus us as leaders communicating at them. And that was a learning from the hospital I learned too, is, you know, sometimes with a physician may tell you the orders to do, but if they actually just listen to what the team is saying, he may actually change his mind. So a lot of it, all these skills are transferable. In athletics, same thing with coaching. It's not one size fits all. That used to be the way of coaching, and especially with running. And now maybe you're a bit heavier. You come at it from a strength exercise. We've seen, you know, some really petite women, female runners just kill it in the marathon, and they're not, you know, so it's not always a height and a weight thing. Or people can achieve a desired result through many different ways.
Have you noticed at all as things have evolved where you've kind of had to change to plan B or plan C or plan D along the way?
Every day. I would say we have our North Star.
Yeah.
We have our North Star and it's like a boat. It's, you know, the tides come, the winds come. So we aren't bobbling in terms of we're not moving forward. I tell the team, no, we aren't. It's not back. It's just pivoting. So we are making our way to our desired outcome. But why is this happening to us? Because maybe we actually had our blinders on. And so my desire is to lead this company to ensure we don't have our blinders on. And why is this happening to us? Were we too narrow focused? Do we need to be more broad and see as we get more clients in? Maybe we need to be more of a broader and not so structured program to enable that we can encompass people from all walks of life with different stages of life. Now we're seeing more families. We need to be a bit more of a open concept, right? So we're constantly pivoting according to the needs of the clients.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we all have strengths, and then we have things maybe we could do a little bit better and things of that nature. How do you make sure that you stay in your personal sweet spot so you're bringing the most value and creating the most impact for the organization?
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly feel I have I do reflective practice. And so I'm somebody that is very much through lived and learned experiences, reflecting on them, what could I have done better? That's the same in my athletic journey. I would say you could be born with a super gift, but most of us have to work really hard at it. And so that's through reflective practice. I got injured. Why did I get injured? Let's not do that again. And so for me to show up as my best self and be the best CEO and really motivate the teams, inspire individuals, and be able to move this company forward, I have to be my best self. And so I need to have health on my side, but then also recognize, like I had said, I surround myself by extraordinary individuals who are seasoned, more years of experience than I do, and just have so much respect for them. And they're so gracious to not just do their job, but also mentor me and advise me on why they made those decisions, which is then, you know, giving me and equipping me with a different skill set to move forward. And so it's a learning journey for myself. But again, it's not without support. And so when I met the founder, it was very much like, you have what it is. You have what it takes. You have all the pieces. And I said, no, but I don't have X, Y, and Z. And he said, those are people you can bring in to help you with those. And so I am just internally grateful to have met somebody that, you know, is giving me a chance and something I just absolutely love to do. And it's
amazing.
We'll see what we can do, but one step at a time.
One last question I have for you is how you might capitalize on outside coaching or training or mentoring. And, you know, I figured you've been on a national team, so you've had coaching and you may have even had coaching personally, you know, for your athletic endeavors. So I'm curious how that shows up in business for you and how you budget the time and the financial investment for your personal growth. Within the business and personally.
Yes. As a CEO, I'm sure your viewers can resonate with this. It's hard to put ourselves first. There's like a sense of guilt. But I need to keep learning and I need to keep like gaining new perspective. And so it's saying, oh, there's this very important, you know, conference and I need to attend, but then it's easy to say, oh, I have to fly here. I have to take 4 days. And so I'm certainly somebody that would all day long give it to the team and not myself. But our founder is so great at reminding me that no, you need to go and you need to not worry and everything will be fine and it is always fine. But it's just, having this commitment to lifelong learning that's easy for me to do in terms of like I do formal training and formal school and if I'm doing anything formal in the evenings, but those in-person conferences, it's not the same as watching the clips on YouTube after.
Right.
And I just get so much from being able to see the new wearables and touch them and talk to people. And so, what I bring back is a total return on investment. Again, it's great to plan, and then be able to set the team up for success. And then what else can you bootstrap onto that? If you're flying somewhere, what else can you bootstrap on to really gain some insights? Like, mm-hmm. Is there other wellness, longevity centers, functional medicine centers in that area? The one piece we do is if these types of therapies are required or recommended for you throughout the year, we certainly want to connect to where those would be in your hometown. And then we could give that concierge handover. And so that you're not showing up saying, my name is Rob, I'm here because I went to Health Code and they told me this. And so in order to make it a seamless experience and that true continuity of care, is we provide that handover. We want those chart notes back, especially if you're going for something like ozone therapy or some sort of therapy that we want to see, is it requiring the desired outcome or not? And so that's a piece that I think is really provides us that powerhouse, that next level. And that's the same in athletics. You know, lots of people are all training the same for these distance races, but what's going to give you that like next level?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I find that it's through really understanding my body, what fuels it, what do I run off of? Is it carbs? Is it protein? Is it like, do I have low iron? I'm north of the border. We need vitamin D. And so it's like, that's what gives you that edge. And so having that edge in business, you need to be out there and you need to be meeting people and investing in yourself as a leader because you are the face of it. I want to role model it. And so in order to do that, you got to be out in the world.
You're right. All right, Lisa, any last words of wisdom? No pressure. If you don't have any, if you feel like you've said it all, it's okay. But I always like to give an opportunity.
Yes. Health is your greatest asset. And if
viewers
are not in the health space, but they are entrepreneurs in any industry, in order for them to be the best CEO and best entrepreneur and bring that vision to life that they just can't stop thinking about, you need to have health on your side. And that starts today. And so I just look forward to all these brilliant new startups that just become taking over the world. In order to do that, you need to have health on your side. And so hopefully that will be a great takeaway for your.
That is a great takeaway. Please make it a priority. And, you know, Lisa, thank you for the passion that you brought to our conversation. There's no doubt you're doing the right thing. It oozes through your voice, through your energy, through what I see of you on the video. So I'm just so grateful for your time today, your energy and your wisdom. And to all the amazing entrepreneurs listening today, I greatly appreciate you spending time with us. And as always, I wish you all much love and gratitude.